Hello, listeners, and we are here at the Damascus Restaurant with owner Yasser Kassir, my all-time favorite restaurant, and if you haven't been here for the hummus, then get here now. We're just a little bit north of Iliff on Colorado Boulevard, and Yas is here to tell us many good things about being a Muslim in the Western U.S., well, in the West in general, though we're pretty much Western U.S.
Definitely.
We're here having coffee, and so Yas, tell us a little bit about yourself, and we'll start there.
So I'm a Muslim-born American, born here in Denver, Colorado, Swedish hospital. You know, grew up with a Christian side and a Muslim side, so was thankfully allowed, you know, perspectives on both ends. You know, I was that kid riding bikes in the cul-de-sac and building ramps and causing property damage with all of, you know, my friends and stuff like that. So I equally identify with my American heritage as much as I do with my Islamic, and I feel that one is incomplete without the other. So that's where I stand, and I feel that, you know, growing up, the social dynamics of being a Muslim and being an American are constantly dancing with each other, you know, with all of the controversies and all of the interesting dynamics that are happening today. So I own a restaurant. I've basically been sentenced to the restaurant industry, no parole. It's been a passion of me and my dad, so we've always allowed this to be a creative outlet, you know, to reach people through, you know, just Arabic, Syrian culture, and sometimes the Muslim culture. And just grew up with a lot of good food and the great gift of having a lot of perspectives, being a Syrian, being an American, being an Arab, and being a Muslim.
So, Yas, how do you identify? Do you identify as mainly an American? I mean, you listed lots of stuff there. Is there an order to that, or does it mix generally?
I think in all fairness that when, for me at least, in all fairness that when I'm identifying myself, you know, and I give credit where credit is due, that, you know, America is my land, and it is the melting pot, but one thing to be proud of in this melting pot is your distinctive attributes in that very pot, you know. So I call myself an American Muslim. I call myself an American Arab because I feel that in order to shatter those stereotypes that are very one-directional, it's important to add that connotation that you're an American, and people will say, oh, that's great. And then you say, well, I'm also a Muslim. I'm also an Arab. And then that misconception or that limitation on what they perceived is opened again. So I would say I'm a American Muslim Arab.
Cool.
Kid.
Yeah. And a kid that runs your own restaurant pretty successfully. Tell me a little bit about your perception of how Islam is perceived in the U.S. Like, what do you see people reacting to you and your faith tradition?
So the two perceptions that I feel that I see here in the United States are a realistic one and a very unrealistic one. You see people who make conclusions based off of the media, and that's their perception of Islam. And then you see people who actually go out there and they're living on in reality, and they have Muslim coworkers and friends and colleagues and whatnot. So there are those two perspectives. You have the ones who come and say, oh, well, I saw on CNN, or I saw on Fox News, or I saw on this and that, that, you know, Muslims are this and that. And then you have people who come in and will say, oh, you know, I just had the most fantastic Ramadan dinner with a Muslim family, and it was fantastic. And you know, so I'll see those two realities. There's one that is very well illustrated with an agenda, and then there's one that's very well rooted with just, you know, getting to know your neighbor. So, and I feel that the two are very different, because one has a very militant paranoia aspect latched to it, you know, and then the other one has a very more down-to-earth, realistic vibe to it that, you know, you can, as a human being living in America, identify more with, as opposed to just thinking all Muslims are gun-toting extremists screaming Allahu Akbar down the streets, you know what I mean?
And we know that's just not true. So what is it actually like to be a Muslim in the West, specifically the U.S., and more specifically as a successful business owner here in Denver?
I think that it's an amazing thing. And the reason why is because one thing, though, that we must always have is no matter what religion or color or creed, or you have to have an open-minded the perspective on things, and I feel that unless you have that, everything in your world will be limited. So people's perception on Islam, you know what I mean, and my ability to practice it, I've never had any struggle with it, and it's always been, you know, I've always been very welcomed, you know what I mean, mm-hmm. in that reality. And I can't say, you know what I mean, that most of the population is just, you know, swimming in this dark pool of ignorance. People, for the most part, are very open and very, very loving and will embrace you, you know what I mean? And that's how, yeah.
Good, yeah. So this is a random question, and I like to ask this, though people are not always expecting it. What might you say is your favorite piece of your faith tradition? Not necessarily why are you Muslim, though what is it about your faith tradition a lot of people don't know maybe that just makes you exceedingly glad?
I would say, you know, whether I'm reading Quran or Hadith or Sunnah or any of the teachings within Islam, one of the most common elements that I always see immediately is to self-reflect, to be self-critical. And to have that constantly pushed upon you always leaves room for improvement and self-analysis. And that's one thing I've always loved about my religion that has always brought it to a spectrum of reality is look at yourself, analyze yourself. Yes, you might be a community leader or you might be, you know what I mean, an outcast, but still you are not devoid of analyzing and criticizing yourself and soul-searching in yourself. So that's one thing that I feel like, no matter where I look in Islam, I cannot escape it. Yes, there are the traditions and, you know, the movements and the small things here and there, but in the end, I think the aspect of the constant need for self-reflection not only allows us to understand the nature of ourselves, but the nature of God in itself. So that's one thing I've always been enlightened with.
That's awesome. And along similar lines, you know, apart from that, what is it that you wish you could tell everyone in the West about you, about Islam, your beliefs, your dreams? What is it that you would love people to know?
That I'm as American as apple pie with a little bit of rose water on it. You know, the thing is never let media or any type of propaganda dictate where you stand in relation to the people that are around you in society. You know, I tell people, I urge them, you know, go out to a Middle Eastern restaurant and go and realize that Arabs are not just Muslims. There's Christians, there's atheists, there's Jews, there's many spectrums of it. You know what I mean? And for me as a Muslim, what I want people to know is, you know, enlighten yourselves by asking a Muslim all of the questions that have been probing at your heart. You know what I mean? The issue of race, the issue of gender, the issue of women, the issue of the scarf, the issue of Sharia law. These are all questions that Muslims are very well willing to answer. So I say that if you are afraid or if you have any misconceptions or if you feel unsure, then go and ask a Muslim, because I guarantee you they'll be like, oh my God, I know an amazing restaurant. Let's go and sit down, have tea and coffee, and I'll tell you about it. You know, so don't be afraid to approach Muslims, and I feel that that's where a lot of separation comes from, is that they feel that they're approachable, whereas society writes that they're unapproachable. In the end, when you're at the checkout lounge or checkout aisle and you see a Muslim woman or you see a man with a kufi on, be like, hey, I'm just wondering, you know, why do you guys wear that? What's the significance of that, you know? And do it with the intention to fill up your glass of knowledge. You know what I mean? You cannot fill up a glass if it is flipped upside down. So there are people that will go asking questions with no intention to learn, only to create tension. And then there are people who will say, come, fill up my glass with water that I may quench this thirst of curiosity.
Okay, so have you been asked questions? Have people stopped you? What's maybe one of the strangest or one of the best questions you've been asked before?
One of the strangest questions I've ever had. And it's funny, because unless I have my kufi on or my beads on or, you know, my many Arabic rings on, people just look at me as a white guy. So I can get away with it for the most part. But sometimes when I will, you know, be wearing my hat or my, you know, prayer beads or whatever, like, just, I swear to you, not even 2 or 3 days ago, I was wearing this very hat. And I sat down on the light rail at Broadway, and then a guy sat down, pointed to my hat and just said, "Jihad?" And I was like, what? And he's just like, "Jihad." And I was like, No, Muslim, hat. And he was just like, oh. And he's just like, I'm Jewish. And I'm just like, Shalom Aleikum. And he's just like, Wa Aleikum Assalam. And we just began this dialogue. And I realized that at that point, I could have taken it two directions. I could have been like, how dare you, blah, 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 the association of jihad, blah, 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 and I'm sick of it. But I looked at him and I'm just like, no, hat, Muslim, that's it. Like, really, let's have a conversation. And in the end, we found out so much about each other's culture. There were so many more similarities, you know. And then I'll have people who, you know, they'll come and they'll say, you know, your sisters that wear the scarves, like, do they get to take that thing off? I'm like, no, no, they get to shower with it on and everything. It stays on all the time. So it's, you know, sometimes, you know, we'll bring humor to the questions and, you know, without, of course, being insulting or sarcastic, but a lot of the times people will kind of catch themselves and being like, wow, I've really alienated these people in that, you know, I'm asking these questions like, do you take this cloth off your head? Well, yeah, of course I do. I go home. I have to take a shower. I go to bed. I see my family, you know. And then I've had someone poke their head into the restaurant in the middle of a busy dinner rush and just say, ISIS? You know, and I'm just like, no, Damascus, falafel. You know, so I feel that for Muslims, we're in a unique position when we're asked questions like that, but it's also a great responsibility that, you know, we don't have this knee-jerk reaction that continues the separation. That, you know, we smile and we embrace those questions as people who are just curious, you know, hopefully, inshallah.
Well, and I've heard a lot of folks say, you know, Muslim women are always quiet. They're not allowed to speak in public. And now you have a sister that certainly
speaks very much in public. Yes. Right. And she's very outspoken, and she uses her Islamic identity and her American identity as a platform to break those barriers, to say, look, you know what I mean? I can work past the misogynistic or the Arabic, you know what I mean, manly machismo, you know, dynamics, and still be an independent woman with a voice that makes other women who are not even Muslim, a lot of the cases, feel independent and feel like they have a voice. And that's one strong thing that I feel my sister does, is that it transcends gender, it transcends religion, and you really connect to the truth that she is saying. You know.
Well, and as a woman, I thank you for that, because I know not every woman feels supported by the men in her family, in their culture, with their, and she's a poet. She's a pretty well-known poet, too.
Absolutely. And to tell you the truth, I mean, my mother was a very intellectual person growing up. You know what I mean? She'd have Noam Chomsky books and Howard Zinn books and then Al-Ghazali and then Rumi. So you'd have this fusion of, you know, American intellectual and then politics and then the old ancient world and then the arts and all of that stuff coming together. And what the only conclusion you could come out with was, you know, there is no room for silencing the voice of anybody. These are such rich perspectives that need to be expressed. So coming from the Arabic culture where poetry is so vibrant, coming to America where freedom of speech is the platform that makes us who we are, you combine those two things and you have the indestructible force that is my little sister.
Now, faith traditions aside, tell me about what makes you happy in America. Like, remind us how much alike we are. Like, movies, what's your kind of, I know everybody's a Captain America fan because he's my boy, but, you know, tell me about it. What's the latest movie you saw?
I have to say the Avengers took it for me because of the shawarma scene.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so that definitely, well, I mean, and the thing is like, I grew up here. And like I said, if I don't have my Islamic hat or my beads on, you'd think I was just another Bill or Joe or Harry standing at line, you know what I mean? And I think that once you realize how just simple and human we are, that there's nothing strange. You know, I wait at the line, and you know what I mean, at the friggin' DMV, and I lose my mind. I'm getting sick of Denver's traffic, you know what I mean?
Yes.
And I'm a foodie, you know what I mean? I love restaurants, I love eating, you know what I mean? All kinds of different varieties and foods. So I'm still a skateboarder, if my knee's still allowed, you know what I mean? So I like to, like I said, you know, I'm as American as apple pie with a little bit of rose water on it.
Oh, that sounds really good. Which is a really good segue. So tell me a little bit about the Damascus restaurant here in Denver.
So this restaurant opened up in 1989. It was the year that I was born. And my dad promises me, he's like, I literally took you from that delivery room to this kitchen and put a little hummus in your mouth to make sure you'd be addicted for life and you'd never be able to leave. Which is the case, because 27 years later, here I am running this place. You know, and this place has been an integral part of my family's identity and my growth and development as a person. As someone who can speak to groups, as someone who has that confidence now with people, I would not have that unless the restaurant allowed me for that. And I'm sure you remember back in 2009, 10, I was the awkward little Syrian kid. You'd walk in, I'd be like, oh my God, yes, Euro sandwich to go. I can do that. And just drop everything and tear your money in half and disaster. So, you know, I would say that with the food came such an amazing social dynamics that allows you to interact with people. I've heard stories from people who've been, you know, background singers to Norah Jones's, you know, singles, to rocket scientists who worked for NASA on Apollo 13. I've had customers from every perspective, you know, so I think that having that junction of hospitality is not only such a huge responsibility, but it's an absolute honor to be able to feed people and have that, to break bread and have conversations with them.
Absolutely.
So that's the beauty. And, you know, my weight goes up and down. You know, some months it's a baklava month. Some months it's a, you know what I mean? It's a Greek salad month. So you just see, it's crazy. So alhamdulillah.
Well, and I know, is it November 2009? I think every night of that month was a Euro sandwich night either French fries or hummus, depending on my mood.
Yes, it was
every single night.
We were going to get you a parking lot with your name on it.
I really ought to get one.
Here's the key, Selena.
So we are coming up on a little bit of time. What other things do you want to tell us here? Do you have other closing thoughts? I know you're an activist in your part time when you're not at the restaurant, which I know is not often, because you're the man here, you know. Tell me a little bit about that.
One thing, though, I mean, I feel that we should never allow ourselves to think that our busy lives disallow us from feeling compassionate for those who are in our communities and for those who are around us. You know, one of the closing thoughts that I would say is, every day I realize that as a human being, the very tool that is in my heart that I used to let me hate and to dislike and to have this sadness and this depression is becoming broken. No longer am I able to conjure up ways to continue to hating the very enemy that is the source of these problems. Instead, I've converted that energy into a more peaceful route and combusting it into a more enlightening form of thinking, you know. So all I say is, calamities are coming and trials and tribulations are reaching every perspective in the world, and they're not exclusive to one group or another. And passion and compassion and love and kindness are not things that are limited to one group of people. They can extend to many people. So be that person who extends love outside of your group. Push it out there. If you see a Syrian, if you see anybody, if you see a homeless person, if you see anybody who's been a victim of child abuse, of sexual abuse, of people who are bullied, reach out there and show that love. Be that rope. Because that's what the world needs. We don't need more hatred. We don't need more angry tweets and angry comments in the comment section. We literally need unity. And let that spill over to all of your neighbors.
Awesome. Thank you. I brought with me for you a copy of one of my favorite author, Dr. Sophia Arjana's new book. It's brand new, Muslims in the Western Imagination. Enjoy that. That's for you.
Are you serious?
It is such a fun read. I really enjoyed it. You're going to know a little bit more about Islam than most of the readers for this book, though. Enjoy it because it's fun. Dr. Arjan is able to show us how we've put the Western imagination into movies that, you know, like Star Wars and such. And so this is a fun read, and I hope
you
enjoy it.
Thank you so much.
Oh, it's great. Oh, yeah, you bet. And so I have another random question, and I know, and I'm going to, if I butcher this, let me know.
I'm sorry about the phone, by the way.
No, that's totally cool. We're in a restaurant, so come on down. They're going to open for lunch soon in a couple hours, and have yourself a falafel or Euro sandwich. Well, there's everything on the menu is good, frankly. I have not been to Syria yet. However, I would say this hummus is the best thing in or outside of Syria, in my opinion.
She's right.
It really is good. So I know that if I'm going to greet you, the proper greeting is assalamu alaikum.
Yes.
Did I say that right?
Yes, absolutely. And the proper response would be wa alaikum assalam, which means and peace be upon you. And then Prophet Muhammad said, when someone greets you, always greet them with an even more extended and better greeting. So if you were to say salamu alaikum, I would say
wa alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, meaning and peace be upon you, and the blessings and the sustenance of God, may it reach you in a blessed manner as well.
Well, and so is there a special way to say, I will see you later, my friend, and thank you, and goodbye?
Well, you could say, Minshufak.
Minshufak.
Which is like the utmost slang way of saying, later, alligator.
Awesome. So, to all of our listeners, Minshufak.
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 Assalamu alaikum.
Assalam, and thank you, everyone, and thank you, Yasser.
Absolutely. Thanks to everyone who's listening. And hopefully this has been, you know, an enlightening, you know, small little segment that Selena has done. And everybody give her a big hug, because God bless this woman. She's fantastic.
Thank you, likewise. And we will talk to you all soon.